Thank you very much for being here this evening. I know we have a lot sick and the weather's not too cooperative, but appreciate you being here. Tonight I want to talk a little bit about troubles, trials, things like that that we go through, and use one of the heroes, I guess, of the Old Testament, how that person handled troubles and trials, and then we'll see where we end up toward the end here. All right, that's not working. Solve their problems in the same way. So what is the best way? What is the way we should use? And now I'm talking about we here, children of God, that kind of believer, trying to follow Christ. Finally become, sit on the throne and become the king of Israel. And the trials he had through that process, and then after he became king, the trials that he, some of his own making, by the way, trials that he endured while he was king. He was pursued by King Saul, as if you know that story. King Saul disobeyed God. God removed the kingdom from him and gave it to David, but Saul still sat on the throne. And David was the anointed, but he hadn't assumed the throne yet. And Saul was trying to kill him. And he pursued by Saul. He barely escaped several assassination attempts. He had to spend much time in hiding in the wilderness and in caves and in various places, eating the food that maybe people saved up for him. And that kind of thing. His entire family was kidnapped on one occasion. His friends turned against him and were ready to kill him. These are real problems, you see. He suffered shame of having committed adultery and murder in his life. His son Amnon raped his daughter Tamar. And his other son Absalom murdered Amnon for raping his sister. Absalom led a revolt against David when he was king. Absalom, his son himself, was killed, and David grieved greatly over him. And so it's not a comprehensive list of all the troubles that David went through in his life, but that's probably enough, isn't it? Yet somehow David survived them all and has come to be remembered as a man after God's own heart. God gave him that moniker. He's a man after God's own heart. I think we can find some answers as we look at what David did when he faced 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, 1 Samuel 30, and the first 6 verses. The context of 1 Samuel chapter 30 is at this time in his life, David is still is living in outside of Israel in a town called Ziklag. He's living with the Philistines, the mortal enemies of the Israelites. Having fled Israel because of King Saul's pursuing him, he had a band of men with him, and he was now aligned with the Philistines because they were against King Saul, and so the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing. The Philistines were preparing to do battle with Israel and King Saul. David and his men had gone up to join with the Philistines in the battle, but the Philistines really weren't trusting David because he was an Israelite, of course. So they sent him back to Ziklag, and we have an unfolding of a terrible story here. So reading in 1 Samuel 30, verse 1 through 6, we find in verse 1, "Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south." Amalekites were some other enemies of Israel, but they were also enemies of the Philistines. And attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. And so now we have the setting here of this city where David and his men had kind of taken up residence. They went to fight with the Philistines, but were rejected because they didn't trust them. Thought they might be double agents or something for the Israelites, but they weren't. And then in the verses 2 through 5 of Samuel, 1 Samuel 30, look what happens here. "And they took captive the women and those who were there from small to great, and they did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. And so David and his men came to the city, back from the front lines, as it were, with the Philistines. They came back to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives had been taken captive as well." So it goes from bad to worse. They got rejected by the Philistines to fight in the battle against the Israelites, and now they come back to this city where they had taken up residence, and this other enemy, the Amalekites, had come in, taken all the people, including some of David's personal relatives or wives and children, burned the city, and here we are with a real problem. And naturally, David is distressed. But on top of this, the people are ready to kill him for not having been there when he was needed when the Amalekites attacked. In verse 6 of our reading, "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." Strengthen himself in the Lord his God. That last part of verse 6, he was distressed, everybody wept, they were distraught, and then David strengthens himself in the Lord. What is that? What does David do when he has lost family and his own life is threatened? Scripture says he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Let's talk about that. That's something special, I think. Let's look. This is what David did first in times of trouble. He strengthened himself in the Lord. With the strength he received, then he was then able to deal with whatever the problem was before him. You see, from this one example, David didn't have little problems. He had big problems. And that was characteristic of his life. What does it mean then to strengthen himself in the Lord? In an effort to answer the question, it may be helpful to consider some of the Psalms written by David during many of those troublesome times. We're not going to be able to read all of them. There's a select few we'll look at to make the point, I think. In times of trouble, David often composed Psalms. If you look in the book of Psalms, many of them are a Psalm of David. And so we still have those writings today. In Psalms chapter 59, verses 1 through 4, while pursued by Saul, he wrote this psalm. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity. And save me from bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me, not for my transgressions nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. Awake to help me, and behold, see, awake, see, I need your help, Lord. When imprisoned in Gath, he wrote Psalms 56, and we'll just read verses 1 and 2 right now. We'll come back to this. When he says, be merciful to me, O God, for a man would swallow me up, fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. He's pleading with God. In Psalms, the third chapter, and verses 1 and 2, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. They're everywhere, the people who trouble him. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. We've got him. God's not going to help him. And that's when he's fleeing from Absalom, his son, who's trying to kill him. And then, hiding in the wilderness of Judah, he wrote Psalm 63. And it's a mighty psalm, Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh belongs to you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. Oh. Your loving kindness is better than life. I'll put that in front of my life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will be while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. I remember you on my bed. I meditate on you in the night watches. Young people don't know about night watches, do they, older folks? When you can't sleep and you're staring at the ceiling and you pray and you ask God for relief of your aches or blessings on someone else or forgiveness of sin or whatever aches your heart in the night watches. I meditate on you in the night watches. The older you get, the more you understand about the night watches. Because you have been my help, verse 7 says. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. The shadow of your wings, protection. My soul follows close behind you. We'll revisit this. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. I snuggle right in. My soul snuggles right in with God. As close as I can get. And I push closer and closer. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go to the lower parts of the earth. They're not part of God. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be apportioned for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. When he was at his lowest, he penned words that were the highest in praise to God and thanksgiving to God and pleading with God and becoming closer to God through his trials. From these psalms, we can glean how David strengthened himself. We get a little glimpse now, don't we? From Psalm 56, we learn that David would place his trust in God to help him in Back in Psalms chapter 56, and verses, let's revisit verses 3 and 4. Whenever I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I will put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Once you realize that if you belong to God, the worst anyone can do to you is hasten your going to be with God. That's all they can do to you. They can take your physical life. They can't take your soul if you're with God. Verses 9 through 11, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. Verse 10, in God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. Verse 11, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Answer is nothing. They can just hasten your going to be with God. And then from Psalm 59, we learn that David was determined to continue praising God for help. In verses 16 and 17, it says, but I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. And he had days of trouble, a lot of them. Verse 17, to you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, my God of mercy. Psalm 63, we see that David overcame his problems of loneliness, seeking the Lord in Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2. O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. God quenches his thirst, in figuratively speaking. Verse 2, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. He searches for God and sees his power and sees his glory. And praising and praying in the same chapter, verses 3, 4, and 5, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. God's loving kindness now is better than life. Verse 4, thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands to your name. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. And so as David is hounded, almost assassinated, his family taken off in captivity, he has a bounty on his head for anyone who could bring him to King Saul. He now is lying with the enemies of Israel, and they don't even trust him. And he's singing the praises of God to settle himself down and to get perspective about who God is and who these other people are. And then in Psalm 63, verses 6 and 7, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. And then we talked about that. And that says something to me, because it's in a quiet time by yourself, and you're meditating on God, and you're speaking to God, and you're praising him, and sending your request up to him. And verse 7, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. The shadow of the wings reminds me of what Jesus said about Jerusalem. Oh, I would have gathered you together like a mother hen does her chicks and puts her wing around them. This is what David was talking about in chapter 63 and verse 7. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. Because you're nestled close to God. You've moved away from sin and the people who might drag you into sin or might do you harm or speak evil of you. Away from them and nestle as close as you can get to God. In each of these Psalms, David is basically saying the same thing. In time of trouble, put your trust in the Lord, the only one that can do anything about these issues. Stay close to him. nestled under the wing, as it were, through praising Him and praying to Him. The more you talk to God, the more you realize that these problems are not insurmountable. Most of us don't have the problems David did, but we do have problems. And there are problems that keep us awake at night, that trouble our minds, whether it's financial problems or family problems or whatever it might be. But God is the one that's going to get us through. God is the one that's going to settle us down. God is the one that's going to focus on what's really important. Do this. Stay close to Him as you are nestled under the wing. Praise Him through prayer and song and thinking about Him and talking to Him. Pray to Him. Give your troubles to God is what David did, and that's what we should do. And it settled him in, and he strengthened himself in the Lord, and then he could face the trials and tribulations of his life. Do this, and you'll be made strong as the Lord supports you. In Psalms 63, in verse 6 and 7, find it. And I've read this a couple of times. When I remember you on my bed and meditate on the night watches, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. So dealing with our problems, this is how David strengthened himself. He moved away from all the worldly things and the troubles of the day, and in the night watches, he nestled close to God and talked about his problems and prayed to God and praised Him and repented of the things he may have done wrong and kept on doing that, and that's the way he lived his life. How about us facing our problems today? Hopefully you don't have the problems David did. But I know you have problems. We all do. In many cases, we try to tackle our problems alone. We leave God completely out of the picture because I have to do this headlong myself. Sometimes we even forsake God entirely by no longer praising Him and praying to Him, by neglecting the assembly, and we gather together to edify one another and worship God here. It's an opportunity to do that, and we don't take advantage of it, do we? Sometimes we get so down on our problems. But God is angered if we try to solve our problems without Him. It's an interesting fact that in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verses 5 through 8, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert. If you've ever been out to the southwest and out in those desert areas and you see these shrubs and they're just as dry and brittle as they can be. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which has not been inhabited. If you got a salt land, you can't grow anything there. There's no life there. Verse 7, blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord, a completely opposite view here, and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. The one who doesn't trust in God and trust in himself and man is like a stick bush in the salt plains. But he shall be like a tree planted by waters, the one who trusts in God, spreads out his roots by the river, will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. It's a stark contrast to the person who trusts in God than the person who trusts in himself or man. A good example of God's displeasure is when his people fail to look to him for strength is found in Isaiah, the 30th chapter in verses 1 and 2. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, who take counsel other than God, other places, other people, other organizations other than God, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin upon sin. If we get our counsel someplace else besides God, it's going for naught. We're going really, whether we realize it or not, out into the salt desert, and when there's no life there, not by the river where everything is green, who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice, taking a long trip, going to associate with some people, and you're not considering God in that endeavor, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and trust in the shadow of Egypt. Israel did that. And they paid the price for it. Because of this, God promised to frustrate the efforts of Israel to solve her problems by herself. Isaiah 30 and verse 3, therefore, the strength of the Pharaoh shall be your shame. All these other folks in our day that we might get counsel from, and there are many who would counsel you on how to live your life and what to do with your life and what direction your life should take you. They're the Pharaohs that we don't want to associate with. Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. That's all it is, shame and humiliation, if we don't focus on God. And in Isaiah 31, verses 1 through 3, woe to those, I'm sorry, and then I already read that. Isaiah 30, verses 15 and 16. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. Come back to God. Returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore you shall flee, God says. And they said, well, we will ride on swift horses. Therefore, those who pursue you shall be swift as well. There's no running from the goodness of God and the bad influence if you go get your counsel somewhere else. So even today, God wants us to put our trust in Him. James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Take that first step. And you'll see God closer. Take another step and God is closer. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Don't you understand? All these other places to get counsel would cause ruin. And then in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Nestle under the wing. That he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. But you have to allow that. When we leave God out of the picture in solving problems, one thing is certain. God leaves us to deal with those problems on our own. If we won't have God, then he'll let you flounder in the problems that you have and without his help. Another thing is possible, and in an act of loving discipline, God may very well frustrate our efforts to solve our problems without His help. He certainly disciplined Israel in that way. So you don't want to get yourself in that situation. So let us learn from David's experience in dealing with problems. In times of trouble, look to the Lord for your strength. And you'll find out that God is stronger than anybody that might be giving you issues or problems. Trust in the Lord and be steadfast in praising Him and praying to Him. Don't forsake Him, nor forsaking the assembly. Understand that this is the family that you need to take counsel from, and that's following God and His commands and His word. Let what David said of himself be true as well. My soul follows close behind you, he said in Psalm 63, verse 8. Your right hand upholds me. Remember, those who trust in God will find strength, deliverance, and true happiness. And so the question not is do you trust the Lord or in your own strength? And that's really the question. If you try to handle all these problems yourself and not through the counsel of God, then God will let you do that, but it will be ruin for you in the end. David wouldn't let himself try to handle those on his own. The many more psalms than the few we referenced is evidence that he put all of his trust in God, allowed God to guide his life, and helped him handle those kind of problems. We can help you tonight, primary obedience and baptism, or if you're a baptized believer and you have done things that you shouldn't have done and you recognize that, just repent of those sins. Come forward. Let us help you. Let us pray with you and for you as we stand and sing.